Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you live from sunny Southern California. And, all right, so we have World Series champions. World Series champion, the LA Dodgers. John Ramos is happy. Ryan Music is happy. Most people are happy. And, look, I'm going to do something that... It's going to be hard to do, which is defend the Tampa Rays. That's right. I'm going to defend the Tampa Rays because here's what happens. Okay, last night in the sixth inning, Kevin Cash comes out and gets Blake Snell. And look, Snell was absolutely dealing. Now, I don't think anybody thought the game was going to end up 1-0, right? Like that's not Bob Gibson out there. On the other hand, he pitched as well or better than Bob Gibson ever has. And so when you watch last night, you were sitting there going, no, don't. And of course, Blake Snell drops an F-bomb. He clearly did not want to come out of the game. It's not like he thought he was losing his stuff. But what the Rays are, what the Dodgers are, is what baseball has become. So what baseball has become, which is, this is what we've done all year. Why would we do anything different? And in all honesty, like the old coaching adage has always been, you know, stay true to who you are. Stay true to what you are. Remember what got you where you are. And so for the Rays, much like the Dodgers, right? Like we can criticize the front office for the information that's provided, the plan that's in place, the lack of flexibility with that plan, because that's really what it comes down to. It's not that the Rays plan was bad. It's that they didn't see or weren't willing to bend on the idea that, hey, Blake Snell was better than any number would tell you he should be. There's no metric that tells you Blake Snell has as many strikeouts as anybody since Sandy Koufax in a World Series game. But he did. And we're talking about through five innings. Now, I don't think that the Rays lost the series last night. I think they lost it in game four when they ran themselves out of two innings. But I'm going to point out that, look, if I'm going to defend the Rays, this is who they are. This is what they've been. This is how they've accomplished what they've accomplished. By the way, the LA Dodgers are much the same story. Like, we can sit here and be critical of the idea that there's not critical thinking from Dave Roberts or from Kevin Cash and that Hal 9000 is deciding the games. We can be critical of that. But the reality of it is, that's why they hired Andrew Friedman, right? I mean, like, there's more to it. Right? Andrew Friedman obviously has an eye for talent. Their use of analytics also tells you who's going to be the next stars, and they've done a great job of evaluation. And the difference with the Dodgers and the Rays is it's not just the talent they have, it's the depth of talent that they have that they can afford to go out and trade for Mookie Betts, give up some prospects, give up some players, and, oh yeah, by the way, pay Mookie Betts. These are things that Tampa can't do. I mean, if you line up guys and you line up talent, I mean, the fact is the Dodgers, that's a historically great baseball team. I mean, think about it. They win a series in which their best starting pitcher only starts once. They go six games, and we only saw Walker Buehler once. And oh yeah, by the way, they win a World Series, and their closer is completely and utterly ineffective. Right? The story of the Dodgers is going to be told. It's going to be about pulling Blake Snell a little bit, about Clayton Kershaw's two starts a lot, right? About Corey Sager, who just hot as all get out, maybe about Justin Turner, who hits one to the warning track, then gets pulled because he's got COVID, then he goes to the dugout, then he tweets, then he comes back out. Like, all of these will be told. I think what's interesting, Walker Buehler only pitched once. He's the best pitcher the Dodgers have. And they still won the series in six games. That's how good they are. But I'll defend the Rays and Kevin Cash because this is who they are. This is who they are. On the other hand, therein lies the flaw in statistical-based analysis. If you want to term it analytics, you want to turn high-level information, it takes away what sports so much is about, which is a feeling, right? I just got a sense that this guy, he's going to be okay. Now, look, stats told us that Pedro Martinez was done in 2003, but the feeling had Grady Little send him back out there, and the rest, of course, is history, and they blew the game and blew the series and lost to the New York Yankees, and it took them another year to recover and ultimately win their first World Series in 86 years. But a blind man could see that whatever the computer told you didn't factor in that Anderson, though a great regular season, shortened regular season pitcher, wasn't the same guy in the postseason. And that whatever you thought Snell was on paper, he was completely different last night. Here's the manager of the Rays, Kevin Cash, after the game.
Well, yeah, I guess I regret it because it didn't work out. I feel like the thought process was right. I mean, every decision that's made, that end result has a pretty, you know, weighing factor in how you feel about it. If we had to do it over again, I would have the utmost confidence in Nick Anderson to get through that inning.
Wow, that's what he said, huh? If I had to do it again, I would do it again. That's what he said. If I had to do it again, but he didn't say what he said, but he said I'd have the utmost confidence. He didn't say if I had to do it again, I would do it again. He said if I had to do it again, I would have the utmost confidence in him. Look, we've seen this so oftentimes with the Houston Rockets. I think the number one thing that everyone says that it doesn't account for is, you know, shortened series, is a gut feeling. I think the thing it doesn't account for is fatigue. Vince Lombardi's famous expression is, fatigue makes cowards of us all. It makes, by my estimation, Gottlieb says, it makes mortals of immortals. You take the best reliever in baseball in the regular season and he becomes utterly hittable. Why? Fatigue. They used him and used him and used him. And ultimately, it was too much, and a guy who was unhittable became hittable. That's what happens with the Houston Rockets. How else can you explain that James Harden is so ineffective in the postseason? Does he draw fewer fouls? I guess. But a lot of it comes from the fact that he doesn't play defense in the regular season, and now he tries to play a little bit of defense in the postseason. Combine that with the overuse in the regular season, the overuse in the postseason, played at higher level competition, and he doesn't have it in the tank. The only explanation for Kevin Anderson, it's not pressure, because it wasn't a one-game thing where all of a sudden a guy who is unhittable becomes hittable. It was throughout the playoffs he was hittable. He kept giving up runs. Seven games in a row, gave up a run. So league record for the playoffs. And the only explanation for that is not that the guy who pitched in high leverage situations in the regular season and in the postseason is somehow flawed in that he's prone to get tight during pressure. Is he tired? And stats don't necessarily account for that. I will defend the Rays because, much like the Dodgers, this is who they are. This is how they got there. You know, it's like when the Falcons had the 28-3 lead. Why'd they keep throwing? That's who they are. That's how they got there. Why the Houston Rockets keep shooting threes in game, was it seven, a couple years ago against the Warriors? That's who they are. That's how they got there. But fatigue makes cowards of us all. It makes mortals of immortals. And it takes away the human factor, to which is anyone could see. Snell was dealing one hard hit ball does not a shot pitcher make? All right, coming up next in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a ton to get to. An absolute ton. What a great show we have for you. Ryan Music is back from, do we call it marital leave? Like, what he got married? Married. Congratulations. He gets married. So that's a big thing. Congratulations to Ryan. Did you watch it on, did you watch the streaming of it?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Of course.
I thought the streaker was a little bit odd. I thought the fact that I did was that I'm not sure if that was paid to happen or exactly how that happened, but I thought the streaker was something I was not expecting when I turned on at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Ryan Music and his bride Kim getting married. I didn't expect that. Coming up next, one NFL team has told you all you need to know about how they intend to fix their season.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I want to play for you. There's moments in your life you're going to remember about sports. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I watch a ton of regular season baseball. Very minimal amount. I love baseball. Because my kid plays it. I loved it as a kid. I used to follow the Angels as a child, like, and I collect baseball cards, whatever. Like, I love baseball. It's just, it's a lot, and it's long, and it's kind of boring, and regular season baseball is just a lot. So, I mean, I pay attention to it, and I have friends that cover it. I thought the Fox crew was amazing last night. I mean, you got two outstanding sideline reporters. Verducci, who kind of does the quasi-analysis stuff because he used to be in the booth. And then, you got the rest of the crew. I mean, you got, Rosenthal was amazing. I thought his questions to Kevin Cash were solid, on point, good follow-ups. Like, it was just, and Smoltz and Buckets incredible. I'm going to play for you. You have both calls of it? Okay, so 1988, the Dodgers last won a World Series. And so if you're not that old, you're not like our age, right? You're like, oh, it's a big deal. And I think it's mandatory viewing for a sports kid. And I made my son watch it last night, and he sort of got it, didn't really get it. In 1988, the Oakland A's were the biggest, baddest asses that there were, right? Tony La Russa was their manager. They had the Bash brothers, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco. Oh, yeah. And their closer was Dennis Eckersley, who hadn't given up a home run since like August. Like, this is October. So all of September, didn't give up a home run. And he was not just the Rolaids award winner. He was the Cy Young award winner that year. So he was the best pitcher in the American League. And Kirk Gibson was the NL MVP, but he had bad knees. He had a pulled hamstring. He wasn't supposed to play. And it's game one of the World Series, and they got a runner on first base. And I'm sitting at my friend Miles Simon, who became the MOP of the Final Four, who's now an assistant coach with the Lakers. I'm at his mom's house. We're both Mets, and I'm an Angel fan. My dad's a New Yorker. He was a Mets fan. He loved Daryl Strawberry. And the Mets were kind of cool, right? From 86, they'd won the World Series. We were 10, 12 years old now. And I will never forget to this moment, Gibson coming limping up to the plate, runner on first base, two outs, ran the count to 3-2, by the way. So this is like that no fear shirt, 3-2, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning, runner on first base, no fear. And the best closer in baseball on the hill against what looked like a feeble guy, right? He looked, when Rob Gronkowski runs, you're like, ow, that hurts. That hurts me to watch. That's how it looked with Kirk Gibson every swing, a foul off a ball. I'm going to play for you both calls, because on radio was, I believe, Jack Buck, national radio. That's Joe Buck's dad. On TV was Vin Scully. What do you got first? Let's do Jack Buck first. Here's Jack Buck.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable. I don't believe what
And then he said, I don't believe what I just saw, right? Like, I get, John, do I have goosebumps right here? Can you see?
A little bit.
I have goosebumps. I'm not a Dodger fan per se. I had tickets to game two. John and I actually both went to game two. Didn't
we were
know
both
each other.
There.
Didn't sit against each other. Oral Hershiser was a boring game. He was awesome, unhittable. Goosebumps. Here's Vin Scully.
Poetic. The only question was, could he make it around the base paths unassisted?
I mean, right? He was that feeble. So when I hear 88, it is without any question, one of the five greatest sports moments I've ever seen live. And I feel like it's mandatory sports listening and viewing that you understand the magnitude of it. The series was over right then. Over. That was game one. The Dodgers were the home team, so it wasn't like they weren't expected to win at home. It was over, and it was that big. And that's the last time the Dodgers won. I'll get to the Patriots upcoming. I'll get to the Cowboys upcoming. I still have a lot of stuff to get to.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
And here's the statement from Major League Baseball in response to the circumstances involving Justin Turner last night. The statement says, quote, Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. The statement went on to say Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. That from Major League Baseball.
So what do you do?
I don't know if there will be some sort of fine or something from it. Not that it matters. I'm not sure.
And I think the troublesome part wasn't just that he went out there. It was that, like, he went out there, he's hugging dudes, he's all over the trophy, you know? Like, you can take down your mask for the photo, I get it, but this is what was told to me from our doctor, because we came into contact, this is like 3 months ago. Somebody came into our house and actually stayed at our house for a night, only to find out a couple days later that they had tested positive for it and they actually had COVID. And so we quarantined for 14 days. And I got tested twice, and I was negative, obviously, both times, whatever. And everybody in my family was negative. And what the doctor told us was that, like, you know, did you kiss this person? Like, no, you know, did you? But if you come into contact within 6 feet of them for more than 15 minutes, right? So I think there's a little bit of, yes, hugging somebody, and if they cough on you, it could have been. But the idea of standing close to somebody, I don't know if that's how this spreads, right? Like, that was not what I was told by our doctor was, like, you got to be closer than 6 feet for 15 minutes or more. And if that's the case, now you got to self-isolate for, you know, like 10 days. And nah, that wasn't the case. It was, they stayed in a guest room and I almost never saw the person, but I did share one car ride with them. And that's why I thought I was most at risk. Anyway, I don't think it's a great look from Turner, but it was just a weird thing where all of a sudden he vanished from the game, right? He just vanished. I mean, at least when Blake Snell got hooked, everybody threw a fit. All right, let's get to this. Byer, you were bringing up all the guys. There's a bunch of names that have been mentioned as potential trades today. Did you see the biggest name probably was Stephon Gilmore?
Yes.
Do you remember what we said? I mean, this is kind of going back to the offseason on what we felt like the Patriots' plan was. You know, by the way, this is, you know, Bill Belichick said, yeah, I don't know anything about those. Do you remember what I said I thought the whole deal with Stephon Gilmore would be?
I don't remember.
This is what I said. I thought they would go for it. try to make the playoffs, see what they had, and then if it didn't work before the trade deadline, they would any piece of value they would sell off. Now, the only thing that's changed between now and then, since then till now, is the fact that the Patriots kind of changed his deal and gave him more money this year, right? So it felt like, well, maybe they're giving him more money to keep him happy through a tough year, and maybe that's the case. But he's their most valuable trade asset, and I think anyone can see that they are in rebuild mode, which is what we thought. They were capped out this year. They got a little bit of cap relief getting out of two contracts, most notably Rob Gronkowski's contract when he came out of retirement. Freed up some cap space. They took on Cam Newton to just, let's see, let's take him on the cheap. Newton's last two games, no touchdowns, five interceptions. The Patriots are ready to move to plan B. They got a plan A. Plan A was, hey, Cam Newton, let's just roll with it. Let's see what we got. Keeping in mind, they had, I think, six guys opt out. I think most on the defensive side of the football, including Dante Hightower. That saved them like $8 million. Then they have Gronk come back. Gronk saves them another $8, $9 million. They get Cam on the cheap. Plan A was, let's see if we can mess around and make the playoffs in a bad division. Now when it becomes obvious they're just not good enough, let's go to plan B. Let's sell everything off and let's start over. Let's hit the draft really, really hard. Let's get younger. Let's rebuild. That's their plan B. Like, I think what the Cowboys are doing is the Cowboys are going through, we'll talk about this next hour, but they're just trying to get the guys, whoever's leaked the story, they feel like's not on board. I told you Jerry Jones needed to do this. Like, go through and just cut somebody. Fire somebody. That'll get everybody's attention, and that's essentially what they've done. But it feels to me like the Patriots are on to plan B, right? You know, Belichick always says, you know, we're on to Cincinnati. We're on to plan B. You know, now they're in, whether it's Trevor Lawrence mode or whatever mode, you know, that's what I would expect to see. Are they still going to try and coach Cam up? Sure. Try and see if they get some value. Maybe they bring Cam back for another year on the cheap so he can mentor whoever they have. They don't want to start a true rookie. My guess would be that they want a volume of second and third round picks. More so than if they get first round pick, that's fine. What they'll do with the first round pick is they'll trade down and get those second and third round picks. But we told you this exact thing would happen in the offseason, and sure enough it has. Sure enough it has. Can I get to that that NBA story? So, Byer, help me out if I'm wrong. You go back earlier in the week, and the NBA came out and said, hey, we want to start this thing. They kind of leaked it out. We want to start this thing early December. The players are like, MLK Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this mixed bag, right? Like, you have the Warriors, who they haven't played a game since March. March. So if they wait till January, you're talking about 10 months in between games. The teams that were in the bubble, that's 10 months. The teams that were in the bubble, like the Lakers, like, dude, we just got done. We're spent. We're beat. We're tired. We're exhausted. We can't do it. But the NBA's revenue dropped 10% last year. $800 million loss in gate receipts. $400 million loss in sponsorships and merchandise. The NBA losses included a $200 million deemed net negative impact from months-long splintering of its partnership with China in the aftermath of Daryl Morey, just hired today, we think, with the Philadelphia 76ers tweet about China. Like, dude, you're talking about $1.4 billion. Wow. If this season goes forward without fans, they believe they'd have a 40% loss in overall revenue, approximately $4 billion. So, look, there's a balance there of we want to get back into gyms. We want to have fans in the stands. On the other hand, like, look, ratings aren't just down because of politics. They're not just down because of the election. They're not just down because games are playing the bubble. They're down because people don't watch TV in August. That's why nobody has big TV events in August. They apparently don't watch NBA basketball in September and into October. Don't believe me? Look at the numbers. And so with that in mind, the players are absolutely positively right based upon their bodies to not want to be back in arenas until January. The problem is this is a business and one that has suffered an incredible amount of damage, amount of loss and value. And I don't know how you say to your TV partners, like, yeah, you know, we're going to miss the holiday season where people are sequestered in their homes, when there's snow and ice outside, when the NBA should think about launching around Christmas Day, and we're going to pass on that because we're tired. I don't get it. And I kind of think NBA players don't get it. That, you know, their thought is like, look, we sustained a loss financially last year, but we made it work. Now you got to make it work with us for our bodies. That's fine. Like they got to get back on time, on schedule. And this is where Adam Silver paints himself in a corner because he has been so player friendly that at some point he's got to go, look, I get that you're hurt. Y'all got to play. Got to have the games. Got to have them early. Got to get 70 some odd games in. Hopefully we'll get fans in there. But we need this, and we need it at this specific time of year. People don't watch in March because the NCAA tournament, if it happens. They don't watch during the Masters. They don't watch during the Super Bowl. They watch around Christmas time, during the holidays, outside of during the college football playoff. And they want the NBA finals done in June. One reason, they want them to go to the Olympics. And it's not because they like or honor the Olympics. It's because that's how they get into Asia. The Olympics are in Japan. China's where the money is. They got to be over there and they got to send their stars. They can't send some rummies over there. Coming up next, how is Major League Baseball going to handle the Justin Turner situation after he tested positive for COVID?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Buyer.
Dan Buyer, what do you got, my friend?
Doug, the game today is...
real news, fake news.
All right, five scenarios to throw at you. We'll see if you can decipher real news or fake news, Doug, that the Yankees and not the Dodgers are the odds-on favorite to win the World Series next season, according to Bet Online.
That sounds like fake news.
You are fake news.
You are correct. The Dodgers are the favorite in odds released 9-2 favorites to win the 2021 World Series. The Yankees are in second. The Padres would be in third at 8-1 with the best odds. Rays then at 10-1.
Rays are at 10-1?
Yeah, Rays are at 10-1.
Padres are interesting. Look, the Dodgers are really, really good. This is a team that was on pace to win 116 games. They played 162. They were beating teams by the biggest margin in the history, modern history of the sport. And outside of Kershaw getting a little bit older, like, they're going to add another starter, right? They're going to fix the bullpen, one would think. So I tend to agree that the likelihood is they get better.
The opening odds for the 2020 World Series won by the Dodgers that we saw last night at the start of the season, the Astros were 5-1, followed by the Yankees and Nationals, and then the Red Sox and Dodgers were considered 12-1 favorites. That was after last year's World Series, the 2019 World Series, when the odds were released. So now we've seen how that played out. The longest shot, by the way, of any team for next season, the Pittsburgh Pirates at 300-1. All right, Doug, real news or fake news? The MLB commissioner's office is going to do a full investigation into Justin Turner's actions following last night's Game 6.
That feels like real news.
They're real, oh, and they're spectacular.
Yes, as part of that Major League Baseball statement, the league said, quote, "The commissioner's office is beginning a full investigation into this matter and will consult with the Players Association within the parameters of the Joint 2020 Operations Manual."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do? You get suspended for next year, a couple games?
Could be. I mean, I don't think that's off the table.
No.
For it.
No.
Yeah, for sure. The nasal swabs conducted on the Dodgers traveling party last night, and the both teams were tested today, according to that statement from Major League Baseball. All right, Doug, two for two, real news or fake news. In an ESPN report, if the NFL needs to play a week 18, the Super Bowl will be pushed back a week. Is that real news or fake news?
That's real news.
You are fake news.
Oh. No, they would eliminate the off week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, according to Adam Schefter. So the Super Bowl still would be on February 7th. You would just, not have that extra week to prepare for the game if the week 18 is needed.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought they were going to push it back. I thought that was the plan.
Yeah, that was a lot of talk, and Mark Murphy, the Packers CEO, said a week or two ago that there are contingency plans that could even have the game played in March if needed. But Adam Schefter saying that if a week 18 is going to be played, they would just eliminate that off week.
Got it.
Real news or fake news, Doug? There may be a battle of L.A. between the Lakers and Clippers over Rajon Rondo this offseason.
That's real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Mark Stein of the New York Times says the Clippers plan to pursue Rondo this offseason.
Honestly, kind of think you can have him. I understand how good he was in the playoffs. He was hurt most of the year. He wasn't that great. And the idea that you're going to keep going back to the well for a guy that's played that much, sustained that many injuries. I think it's smart. The Clippers do need a point guard. The Lakers, I believe, will be in the market for a real starting point guard like they both were last year. You know, last year they both had their eyes set on the same player, and both came up short. So I'll be fascinated to see what happens.
Finally, Doug, real news or fake news? The Utah Jazz are being sold and could be on the move to Seattle.
Well, it's real they're sold, but fake that they're going to Seattle.
You are fake news.
Yes, it is fake news. Jazz and Vivint Smart Home Arena are being sold to software developer Ryan Smith for $1.66 billion. The 40-year-old Smith, born and raised in Utah, he's buying the team from the Miller family, who has owned the franchise for 35 years. And as part of the stipulation of selling the team, Smith obviously would be keeping the squad in Salt Lake City. Music
game, huh?
To the ears of jazz fans.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Yeah, he sold Qualtrics, right? He and like his whole family. Plus, his name's Smith, and he's Mormon in Utah, right? Like,
it works.
He's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere at all. Can you imagine being 40 years old and being able to buy an NBA team and the arena? And I think he got it at like a discount. Is it 1.6 or 1.9 billion?
I saw 1.66 was the number that I saw.
Seems on the lighter side. Now, I understand the revenue is down, but seems on the lighter side. You know, you look, obviously, L.A., the Clippers were a couple $1 billion, and, you know, the valuations are different based upon market. But that's a crazy popular team that's pretty good. I wonder what their spreadsheet looks like. But that... kind of interesting, though. The Bucks, you know, I don't know, Bucks about, what, 10 years ago sold for like $600 million, I think?
Yeah.
And the group's from New York, but part of the agreement was they would keep it in Milwaukee. They built a new arena. But he gets the arena as well.
Yeah. And the Clippers were, you know, Ballmer, when he $2 billion when he bought them from
Sterling. Now that's location, but they were valued at like 1.1, and he paid like 2.2 for them.
That was the point. Yeah, he extremely overpaid for them, but it was also like, kind of a no-brainer, and now it's already worked out for him, and a lot of things work out for Steve Ballmer.
All right, like, tonight is a weird night. We've had this run of games all the time. We had Tuesday Night Football last week. We had Thursday Night Football returning tomorrow. College football played, although now we have a big college football game canceled this week with Wisconsin-Nebraska. I actually think that helps Wisconsin. Like, they were going to go in there with their fourth-string quarterback. Like, yikes. Yikes. Hurts Nebraska. But there's no college football, no NFL, obviously no basketball, and no baseball tonight. There's like not like we actually, is there any TV on Wednesday nights? Is there anything worth watching? I believe the answer is negatory. Coming up next. Okay. Lots of guys on the trade deadline, on the trade block. Some have actually been traded. The Cowboys have a specific plan they're trying to execute as we approach the NFL trade deadline. And I think, look, so much of the blame, and rightfully so, has been placed on the new head coach and on the players' reaction to the new head coach. Feels like the Cowboys are doing the exact thing I recommend that they would do, and they're kind of quietly doing it. I'll tell you what that is next in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.